Welcome to the April 26th service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. Our virtual service today was led by a guest minister, Reverend John Coffey, assisted by Worship Associate Ellen Plummer. The title of Rev. John's homily is Bigger Boat Theology.
Good morning. Welcome to this gathering of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. My name is Ellen Plummer, and it's my pleasure to serve as our worship associate this morning. I am particularly delighted to serve as worship associate with my friend and colleague, the Reverend John Coffey, who is our guest minister today. Rev. John works for Meadville Lombard Theological School, a little school near and dear to many of our hearts in Chicago, and was a classmate of Rev. Pam's. He joins us today from his home in Tennessee. If you are with us for the first time, we are so glad that you have found us. You will find in the chat function that there is a visitor's card, a link to the visitor's card. If you would like, please fill it out. Let us keep in touch with you. And if you believe our congregation might be your spiritual home, please contact Rev. Pam. We will want to offer you membership in our community. If you have a joy or a sorrow this morning, please also look to the chat function. There is a form in there, or a link, I should say, in there for you to share your joy or sorrow with me, and I will share it with us during worship. Our community is meeting regularly via Zoom and other virtual options, and believe it or not, some of us are using the telephone. Now there's an idea. So I encourage you to take a look at our website, our bulletin, our weekly announcements, etc., for additional ways to gather virtually. Today, one of our opportunities to engage is immediately after coffee hour at 11:30. We hope you will join Rev. Jamie McReynolds for a bridging conversation on this month's topic, coronavirus, life in the time of corona. The link is on the church website and also in our chat. Our congregation will have its annual meeting on May 31st. May 17th is our deadline for membership for anyone wanting to vote during this meeting at the end of May. And now, Rachel Crane. She is our Lifespan Faith Development Assistant, and she will tell us what the children will be learning about this week in the packets that she's mailed to families.
Hello and good morning. This week in RE at Home, our preschoolers are going to be learning about shadows. They'll be reading a book called Moon Bear's Shadow and playing some games with their shadows. Our K-1 class is going to be reading the Buddhist story, The Mountains of Tibet. Our second and third grade class is starting a new unit on the Web of Life, and this week they'll be learning about Henry David Thoreau. Our fourth and fifth grade class will be celebrating Earth Day, which was last Wednesday. And our middle school is going to be finishing their unit on Indigenous religions by looking at some Native American beliefs. And just a reminder, we now have story time on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. and Fridays at 3 p.m., so be sure to check that out. Now, last week I asked you guys to send me things that made you smile, so I'm going to share a few of those with you now. Thank you to everybody who sent in wonderful photos. So this is Noemi's dog, Lena. Definitely something to smile about there. And from Hazel and Eliza, we have a bunch of photos. They like to take rides and face paint. Puzzles, tea parties, and pets are all things that make them smile. Flowers and leaves and being outdoors, I think those make a lot of us smile. Blake and Rowan sent in pictures of the obstacle course they were making outside. That looks like a lot of fun. And the Fotinos family has been having a lot of fun with family games and food and going outdoors. And from the Reeds, we have this adorable little troll and a double rainbow. Pretty cool. For this week's challenge, I would like you guys to send me pictures of your helping hands. As you remember, we are the church of the open mind, the helping hands, and the loving heart. So this week, let's focus on what we can do with our hands to be helpful. So I'd like you to send me pictures or drawings of ways that you can help out, maybe around your house or around your community, anything you like. I'm looking forward to seeing what you send me this week. That's all. Bye.
Many thanks to Rachel for all of her creative and loving contributions to our religious education. As you light your own chalice at home, please join me in saying the words we read together every week as we light our chalice, the symbol of our free faith. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. Together we will read our congregational covenant. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement to inspire, create, and transform, and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions. Rev. John has our opening words and a story.
Good morning from air traffic control in Knoxville. I am John Coffey. I've been with you before. I've been blessed to be with you before in the congregation of Blacksburg, those big, beautiful windows in the sanctuary. And I was thinking about this last night. The last time I was there was actually for your installation, Reverend Pam. And I don't know if this is exactly how it happened, but this is the way I remember it. One of the speakers said, "Welcome to your first ministry." And at that moment, a giant crack of lightning happened in the window behind the screen and shook the whole congregation. So that was a pretty powerful memory that I have. Thinking about celestial phenomenons and thinking about, the natural world, it can feel like a very great big place. It can feel like a big scary place, especially right now. But for this morning's opening words, I did a little bit of math. And if there are mathematicians in the congregation, I hope that you'll accept some of the liberties that I'm taking with some of my calculations. They're not quite spot on. We can talk later about the exact decimal points and things like that. But I thought it would be neat to think about this great big world and this great big universe that we're in. And I decided that I would see how big the Earth is compared to the Sun. And just to throw out some great big numbers, the Earth is roughly 41 million feet in diameter. In comparison, the Sun is roughly 4.5 billion feet in diameter. The distance from the Earth to the Sun is roughly 493 billion feet. Now, those are some big numbers, don't really make much sense. So I decided to do a little bit of a demonstration. So the Earth, the Sun is roughly 109 Earths across. And to kind of put that in perspective, this is a ballpoint pen. And the ball in the ballpoint pen, if this were the size of the Earth, the Sun would be roughly 12 inches in diameter. Now, this is cool, but what's really cool, and I'm going to ask Keith, who is my husband, he's just off screen here, I'm going to ask him to help show us just how far, in comparison, the Earth is from the Sun. So Keith, if you could help me, I'm hoping this is going to work. He's going to go upstairs. He's going to go out our front door, and I think it's too bright to see. Let's see if we can get this working. Sorry for the shakiness. You get to see my messy living room. He is out there at the mailbox, which is roughly 112 feet away. So if this is the Earth, the sun would be outside, roughly 110 feet away. So that's cool. But if you take it a little bit further, and if we imagine that the Earth is as wide as I am from Keith, well, he's back inside now, but as far as he was out at the mailbox, the Earth would roughly be about the distance from Knoxville to Blacksburg, Virginia. And the width of the sun would roughly be about the distance from the congregation in Blacksburg to Lane Stadium. That's how big the sun would be. So just some fun calculations to think about when we're thinking about this great big world and how scary it can be at times. It may be worth remembering that the Earth is, in the words of Carl Sagan, just a pale blue dot. I don't know if my screen share is working, but this is a photo from the Cassini Project, taken from Saturn, looking back at our pale blue dot of the Earth.
Giving is a reminder of our interconnected web of life, a call to make the world a little closer to heaven on Earth, and a symbol of our commitment to courageous love. Each week, our congregation donates half our offering to a local charity or UU-affiliated organization. This week, we invite all who are able to donate to the YMCA's Meals on Main. This initiative is a direct response to the COVID-19 crisis, and the Y is collaborating with others to provide food 7 days a week to all the youth in the New River Valley. This effort is especially close to us. It's being led by Laureen Blakemore, who served as our president. You can give anytime, during or after the service, by using the UUC's Give Plus app, or by texting the word FUND to the phone number, to the text number, 844-909-2617. If you have never used either of these, look at your order of service and in the announcements for more information.
For this morning's meditation, I want to invite you to find your heartbeat. Maybe you can find it in your wrist, maybe in your neck. If none of those places work, maybe you can just sit still and feel it in your chest. But the point of this is not to slow it down or speed it up, but just to become aware of it. Find your heartbeat. Take a few seconds. It's fine, just like it is. I invite you to close your eyes if it helps, or keep them open. But as you find your heartbeat, note the rhythm, the pace, the beat, keeping time with your life. On this spring morning, when we're each in our homes, the world can feel like a scary place. But your heartbeat sang its cadence as you rose out of bed this morning. And it will hum its downbeat in the evening tonight when you lay down to sleep. Throughout the stresses and excitements of the day and the rest and calm at night, this is the meter of your heart and soul. The rhythm you feel now has been with you your whole life. It has been with you through great joy and sorrow. It has been the baseline of laughter and kept tempo with anger. This beating, bouncing life through your veins has kept time since the days of your childhood. This drumming and strumming of life keeps time now. And it will keep time with you all the days of your life. In those moments when you need it, this cadence will be there. When you find yourself overwhelmed by the rise and fall of life, take a moment to find the rise and fall of your heartbeat. This is worship in the time of COVID, life in the time of COVID. And kind of in that sense of thinking about where we all are, the idea for this morning's sermon, this morning's homily, came from a song by Brandi Clark and Randy Newman called Bigger Boat. And in the song, you can go to YouTube and look it up sometime after worship. But in the song, they're talking about all the terrible things that are happening in the world. And they get to a line in the song and they say, "All these sharks in the water got me thinking about a movie quote. We're going to need a bigger boat." It's been said in times of COVID that we're all in the same boat and we're all, you know, in this together. And while that might be true in the big sense that we're all on this little bitty pale blue dot rolling through space, it certainly doesn't feel like we're all in the same boat at times. It can feel like we're all in our little bitty lifeboats just trying to make it, trying to keep the leaks at bay, trying to keep the storms from sinking our ship. This also got me thinking about a reading from a good friend of mine, the poet Susan Odell Underwood. It's called They Raised Big Gardens, and it talks about the things that those of us with privilege, like myself, can do for those who maybe can't do. And in that spirit, I'm going to invite Reverend Pam to play the video for us this morning.
They Raised Big Gardens by Susan Odell Underwood.
They Raised Big Gardens by Susan Odell Underwood.
Because not all of us learned every man for himself, not even during hard times.
Because not everyone can raise up himself, much less raise vegetables.
Because the ground was created in the first place to feed everybody.
Because their everyday talent was to bend with a bowed head, to kneel down.
Because there is no room for selfishness in subsistence.
Because three meals a day is not necessity, but it is a necessary dignity.
Because going hungry is a better teacher than any sermon about doing unto.
Because hunger feels like unjust punishment, just for walking, breathing, being.
Because there can always be a little left at the bottom of every pot.
Because who gets to eat should not be a lottery.
Because we must all put in front of ourselves, on the table, something to bless, by which to be blessed.
Because the table is always ready and waiting, like a promise.
Because each mouth goes empty most hours of the day and needs only a bite to fill it.
Because tomorrow is too far to go on an empty stomach.
Because the first thing we all know is the pang of hunger.
Because among the innards, the taste buds are sanctified, a gift, a prodding way down deep to stay alive.
Because it only took a few more seeds to plant three more short rows.
Because the mule wasn't completely worn out.
Because it cost them only sweat and ache and the effort of walking on those last few clods in someone else's shoes.
Because the sun held the pages of June open.
Promising fishes and loaves.
Fishes and loaves.
Fishes and loaves.
The light saying multitudes.
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 Beatitudes.
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 Saying this do.
In the name of.
For whoso loved.
The meek will inherit.
Saying do unto the least of these.
Saying unto us is given.
Unto you is born this day.
This very 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 day.
I want to give special thanks to folks from all over the country who helped put that video together. There were folks from Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia, and Chicago, all over the place reading for us this morning. The notion of, you know, we're all in the same boat got me thinking about a time when I was in seminary. I was in a Bible class and we were learning the Hebrew scriptures. And the story that was being taught that day was Noah's Ark. And we were looking at it from the perspective of critical analysis and ways of making, the whole point of the class was about ways of making these texts come alive for modern audiences. The professor asserted or had this idea that this notion of Noah's Ark, the story of this flood that comes to earth to punish humans for their bad behavior, that this was a metaphor for the climate crisis, that we're on a sinking ship where the storm is coming, the earth is going to be flooded, and we're going to need some sort of boat to save us. And the professor took this a step further and said, and not everybody's going to make it onto the boat. And I remember getting so angry and irritated in that class. And I'm like, that's a terrible metaphor. That's an awful metaphor. And in the moment, I couldn't really articulate what it was that was making me so angry and lively about this notion that there's not enough room in the ark for everybody. And a dear friend of mine, who was actually in the video, Minister Walter Clark, was in the class with me, and we were walking outside after class, and he said, it sounds like you want to make sure that the ark is big enough for everybody, and that's your theology. I said, yeah, I think that's it. This idea of punishment for our own actions seems a bit harsh when we think about the scale of things like the climate crisis, and especially now as we think about the scale of COVID-19, this idea that somehow this is punishment for our actions, or that there's something we've done to deserve this when we get sick or whatever, I think it speaks to this idealistic notion that we have sometimes of hell. That hell is a place where bad people go. That hell is a place where if somebody's there, it's because they did something to deserve it. But I think a much more true sense of hell is that sometimes it doesn't make sense. And sometimes, as we see in our world, there are people who are experiencing hell on earth who don't deserve it. I was on a phone call on Friday with a family member of mine. And she called because she works in healthcare. And a coworker of hers who works very much in the same position, doing the same thing she did, around the same age, same relative health, had just died of COVID-19. And as I held the phone, my family member, tears in her voice, said, "Why would a loving God do this? Or at the very least, let something like this happen to a good person?" And I didn't have an answer for it. It's an age-old question of why a loving God or an omnipotent God would let suffering happen on earth. People are quick to point out that we're not all in the same boat in the COVID-19 crisis. The immunocompromised fear their fellow human beings. Some of us have lost livelihoods, while some unemployed are able to access benefits, many are not. I can stay home and safe on my computer, working from home all day, while my husband and my mom work in healthcare and have to think about a level of risk that doesn't even cross my mind during most days. There's a level of anxiety in the world right now. It feels like there's something in the proverbial water circling, threatening to sink the very boats that we're in. In the words of Jaws, we're going to need a bigger boat. My personal theology may be idealistic, but I think we've got that bigger boat. And the good news is it's already built. It's that little bitty speck floating through space. And in the words of the poet, it was created in the first place to feed everybody. In times like these, I have to believe the words of Theodore Parker, so often quoted, that the arc of the universe bends towards justice. If Parker was talking about the arc, A-R-C, I'm talking about the ark, A-R-K. The earth, our blue boat home, it is our ark. And it's easy right now to fall into despair and think we're gonna fail. Sometimes we need to lament. Sometimes we need to be sad. Sometimes we need to despair. There's a whole book in the Hebrew scriptures about lamentation. But when the lamentation is over, when the worry needs to be put at bay, when the anxiety needs to be calmed, we can go about the work of making sure that there's space in the ark for everybody. If we're willing to listen to those in our communities and those around us, we can hear that promise of fishes and loaves when we donate our time, our money, our resources to food banks in our communities. We can see the light saying multitudes of lives saved in our communities because we stayed home and didn't become a vector for illness. We can say beatitudes, blessed are the healthcare workers, the essential jobs, saying this do, whatever you can right where you are, in the name of whatever gets you out of bed in the morning. And in the age of COVID-19, you might not even have to get out of bed. You just grab your computer or your phone and you just point it at your face. For who so loved? If our theology, the reason that we come together as a community, asserts love, there has to be an agent and an object of that love. We can be the ones doing the loving of a hurting and broken world. And if we need it, we can be the objects of the love of a community that's willing to embrace us during hard times. The meek will inherit, the gentle and kind, those will prevail. Saying, do unto the least of these, help the laid off, feed the hungry, give shelter to the tired, comfort the lonely. Unto us is given this opportunity to fight ignorance and the spread of false information, to love a broken world right in our own backyard. And when we feel powerless, when we feel hopeless and restless, unto us is born this day, this very day. It is my prayer, my hope, my wish for all of you that we embrace this very day and those that are to come. May it be so. As we extinguish our chalice, I want to remind folks that our last act of worship today, if you're able, is to remain after the postlude and fellowship with those who have gathered. As we say in the Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist Church every Sunday, the benediction to our people is, "Prophetic Church, the world awaits your liberating ministry. Go forward in the power of love. Proclaim the truth that makes us free." May it be so.